الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. We have a lecture this evening for the youth of our community in Masjid al-Tawheed and for the youth of the Muslims of Ahl al-Sunnah in general. And the title of the lecture is The True Islam is the Islam of the Salaf. The True Islam is the Islam of the Salaf. And tonight, because it's late and many of us may be tired, we're going to take it easy, inshallah, and we will share in our efforts together in participation. So before beginning our discussion, who are the Salaf? Who can tell me? The true Islam is the Islam of the Salaf. Who are the Salaf? It's not the time to be shy. The companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Salaf, they are the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is one answer. And another answer. And the Tabi'un. The Tabi'un. This is another answer. Two separate ones, huh? The pious predecessors. Whenever we say the word Salaf, what we're intending is Salaf as-Salih. As-Salaf as-Salih. The righteous and the pious predecessors. Tayyib, who are they? Who are as-Salaf as-Salih? The righteous and the pious predecessors. Ahsanta. The Sahaba and the Tabi'un and the Atba' Tabi'een. As-Sahaba and the Tabi'un and the Atba' Tabi'een. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they're the noble companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those who learn the religion of Islam directly from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They learned it from his statement and from his action and from his guidance and direction. And they witnessed the revelation radiallahu anhum. And the tabi'un, they are the followers, the students of the sahaba. They are the followers, the students of the Sahaba, and they learned from those who learned directly from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the third generation after them, they're known as Atba' al-Tabi'een. Atba' al-Tabi'een, they learned the deen of al-Islam from the Tabi'een, who learned the deen of al-Islam from the Sahaba, who learned the deen of al-Islam from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the title is, The True Islam is the Islam of the Salaf. The true Islam is the Islam of the Salaf, of these three generations. Of these three generations. Anyone of you know any evidence or proof for this? For this title? Khairun Nas? Qarni? Ahsanta, Ahsanta. Referring to the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And likewise narrated from Imran ibn Husayn, radiyallahu anhum, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Khairun nas qarni, thumma alladhina yalunahum, thumma alladhina yalunahum. The best of mankind is my generation. Who are they? The Sahaba, radiyallahu anhum. Then those who follow them, who are they? The Tabi'un. And then those who follow them. And they are? That's about Tabi'in. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned directly these three generations, and that they're praiseworthy, whether they're the best, they're the best of mankind. Rather, they're the best of mankind. Any other evidences? The hadith about the 72 sects. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, سَتَفْتَرِكُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ عَلَى 73 فِرْقَةٍ كُلُّهَا فِي النَّارِ إِلَّا وَحِدٍ. That my ummah will divide into 73 sects. سَتَفْتَرِكُ أُمَّتِي عَلَى 73 فِرْقَةٍ كُلُّهَا فِي النَّارِ إِلَّا وَحِدًا. That my ummah will divide into 73 sects. All of them will be in the hellfire except for one. And whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asked about who they are, in the one narration he said, Al-Jama'ah. Al-Jama'ah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, he said, Atadri man al-Jama'ah? Do you know who is the Jama'ah, yani the main body? And one of the Tabi'een, he said, Jumhur al-Nas. He said, وَيْلَكَ إِنَّ جُمْهُورِ النَّاسِ قَدْ فَارَقُوا الْجَمَاعَةِ, that the majority of the people, they have turned away from the jama'ah. And he turned away from the congregation. And then he said, الْجَمَاعَةَ مَنْ وَافَقَ الْحَقُ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ وَحْدَكَ, that the jama'ah is the one who's in accordance with the truth, even if you're alone. Even if you're alone. In some wordings of this narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, هُمْ عَلَى مِثْلِ مَا أَنَا عَلَيْهِ الْيَوْمُ وَأَصْحَابِي, they're upon the likes of what I am upon today and my companions. They're upon the likes of what I am upon today and my companions. Also, there's another narration by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, سَتَسْمَعُونَ وَيُسْمَعُ مِنْكُمْ وَيُسْمَعُ مِنْ مَنْ سَمِعَ مِنْكُمْ, that you are going to hear the knowledge. You're going to hear the guidance. سَتَسْمَعُونَ, you're going to hear, meaning from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَيُسْمَعُ مِنْكُمْ وَيُسْمَعُ مِنْكُمْ وَيُسْمَعُ مِنْ مَنْ سَمِعَ مِنْكُمْ, it will be heard from you, and it will be heard from those who heard from you. From those who heard from you. So these three generations, they're known as the Salaf al-Salih. They're known as the Salaf al-Salih. The righteous Muslims in these three generations, they're known as the pious predecessors. The righteous and the pious predecessors. Beginning with the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then their students, and then their students. All the evidences so far that you have mentioned are correct. May Allah bless you and increase you in good and in beneficial knowledge. But even before that, there are evidences in the Quran. Who knows some evidences in the Quran? Naam? As-sabiqoon al-awwaluna min al-muhajirin wal-ansar wal-ladhina tabu'uhum bi-ihsan. What about them? رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْ أَحْسَنْتَ وَأَحْسَنْ السَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ, the first and foremost from the muhajirin and the ansar. Who are the muhajirun? Who are the muhajirun? Those who believed in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Mecca, and they migrated with him to Medina sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَالْأَنصَار, and the ansar, who are they? Those who believed in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the people of Al-Madina, and they aided the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muhajirun whenever they migrated to them. Whenever they migrated to them. So Allah, He says about them, As-sabiquna, al-awwaluna, min al-muhajirina, what ansar? And then what's after that? What's after that? Waladina ittaba'uhum bi-ihsan, and those who follow them bil-ihsan, and those who follow them precisely, those who follow them truthfully, those who follow them honestly in their creed and their belief and their worship and their manners and their conduct. What about them? رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْ, Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Him. Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Him. This verse here, with regards to this topic of understanding the true Islam and the obligation of following the Salaf, the proper and correct methodology, is very amazing and very beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this noble verse, He divided the people whom He's pleased with into three categories. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْ, السَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ تَبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. We understand this? The first and foremost, from the muhajirun and from the ansar, and those who follow them precisely and truthfully, Allah is pleased with them. And they're pleased with Him. Allah is pleased with them and they're pleased with Him. So if someone is hoping to have the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, he must be from one of these three categories. And there's no fourth. If somebody is hoping to have the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he must be from one of these three categories. And there's no fourth. You understand this? Can we be from the muhajirun? Can you be from the ansar? What is the option that you have? وَلَذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ, to be from those who follow them precisely. To be from those who follow them precisely. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has divided the people whom He's pleased with into three categories. And 2/3 of them are the companions of the noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You understand that part? Allah azza wa jal has divided the people into three categories with regards to those who Him He's pleased with. With regards to those whom He's pleased with. 2/3 of those three categories, 2/3 of them are the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, displaying the high status and rank of the noble companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then likewise clarifying that that last category, likewise that will, that Allah is pleased with, they only earn the pleasure of Allah azza wa jalla because they're following those first two categories. Do you understand this? So who hopes for the pleasure of Allah? Are you hoping for the pleasure of Allah? Do you hope that Allah is pleased with you? Do you hope to die and go to the paradise? Do you hope to live upon the straight path and die upon the straight path? This is the question that we should all ask ourselves. And then be sincere and truthful. Yes. Yes, we believe in Allah. We believe in the Jannah. We believe in the Nar. We believe in the accountability in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we believe that there are people whom Allah is pleased with, and there are likewise people whom He's angry with. And we hope for His pleasure and we fear His anger. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those whom Allah is pleased with, they are the muhajirun and the ansar and those who follow them precisely. We're not able to be from the muhajirun and we're not able to be from the ansar. The only opportunity that we have to seek the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal is to be from those who follow them precisely. So why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pleased with the muhajirun and the ansar? And why is it a condition to have His pleasure after them to follow them precisely? Yes. Because they followed the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bi ihsan. It's the muhajirun and the ansar radiyallahu anhum. They're the ones who followed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam precisely. They're the ones who followed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam diligently in every issue. And they did not ask questions. Once they realized with certainty that He's the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after that they made no decision in their life. قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. They said, we hear and we obey. After they affirmed the shahada and la ilaha illallah, وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after that they complied. Until the extent one time the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's praying the salat, and suddenly he takes off his sandals in the middle of the prayer. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the middle of the prayer. And the companions, they see this. The companions, they see the likes of this, and they take off their sandals in the middle of the prayer likewise. And whenever the prayer is finished, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, what carried all of you to cast off your sandals in the middle of the prayer? And they said, we've seen you taking off your sandals, so we took off our sandals. Meaning they followed him diligently to the very last, movement. And they learned everything about his life and his methodology and his way inwardly and outwardly. And they implemented that in their lives and they carried that on to those after them. And for this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them. Because of their deen. Because of their faith, because of their iman, because of their creed, because of their obedience, because of their submission to Allah Azza wa Jal, because of their compliance to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, those after them, they as well learn from them directly. And they establish their religion properly in a manner pleasing to Allah. And then likewise those after them as well. Those three generations, why they gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is because of their sincerity and faith. And because of their diligence to learn the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and hold fast to that and to turn away from the customs and the cultures of the people. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the well-known narrations, he mentioned sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bada'a al-islamu ghariban wa sayyudu ghariban kama bada'a fatuba lil-ghuraba. That Islam, it began as something strange and is going to return strange just as it began. So glad tidings to the strangers. What does that mean, Islam began as something strange? What does that mean, Islam? Al-Islam began as something strange. Yes. It went? it went against the norms of the society at that time. Ahsanta. It went against the norms of the society at that time. In the time of the coming of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the entire world was in misguidance, except for a small remaining few from the people of the book. Illa baqaya min ahl kitab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He was angry with the entire creation. He looked at the creation from maqatahum jami'an, arabahum wa ajamahum, illa baqaya min ahl kitab. That in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the vast majority of mankind was in misguidance and deviation, was in shirk and polytheism, and sin and transgression, and living a foul and a lowly life, a base life of misguidance. A base life of misguidance. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He wanted to favor this ummah and to show mercy to mankind, and He sent the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with knowledge and clear guidance. With knowledge and clear guidance. How long did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam live before he received guidance? 40 years. We have to participate. We have to participate. Wake up. How long? 40 years. What was he known in those 40 years to his tribesmen? As-Sadiq al-Amin. He was known as the trustworthy. He was known as the reliable. What does that mean? He's trustworthy, he's reliable. What does that mean? He didn't lie. He was not known to be a liar. He never lied on the people, or lied to the people, or lied about the people. He never cheated. He never robbed. He was never dishonest. He was always honest. He was always trustworthy. He was always reliable. He was always truthful. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the way until he received prophethood, this was known from his people. He was known as Al-Amin. Al-Amin, the trustworthy and reliable. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever he reached the age of 40, the angel Jibreel came to him. Alayhi salam, whenever he's in the cave. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was revealed to him? Yes. Iqra. What else? Iqra. Bismi. Read. Finish the verse. Ahsanta. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Until those first few verses. This was the first of the revelation that was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The angel Jibreel, he descended on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he grasped him and held him tight. He grasped him and he held him tight, and he told him to read. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Ma ana biqari', I'm not able to read." And then he grasped him again and he said, "Read." And then he let him go. He said, "I'm not able to read." And then he grasped him again and he said, told him to read. In the name of your Lord, the one who created. And then the revelation was revealed. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very frightful. And he was afraid and he left. And he went to Khadijah radiallahu anha. And the story is well known. And he told them, "Cover me up, cover me up." And she reassured him. And the likes like this, and then the revelation continued to come after this, as we know. And then soon after that was the revelation of? What was the next revelation after that? Ya ayyuha al-muddathir, kum fa'anzir, wa rabbaka fakabbir, wa thiyabaka fatahir, wa rujza fahjur, wa la tamnun tastakthir, wa li rabbika fasbir. These verses were revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after that. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began calling the people that are close to him. The first to accept Islam absolutely was who? The first person to accept Islam and believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was Khadijah radiallahu anha. Likewise, from the first after that to accept Islam, the first man. The first man. Don't have to raise your hand. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And the first man was Abu Bakr, the first boy. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, who was the first freed slave. Freed slave. Zayd ibn Haritha, Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu anhu, Mawla Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who was the first slave? Bilal ibn Rabah radiallahu anhu. These are from the very first to accept Islam. And likewise, Abu Bakr, he began to call the people as well, all privately in the beginning. All privately in the beginning, telling them about the revelation that's revealed, that the final prophet has come and is receiving revelation from the heavens. And they're reciting the revelation, that which is revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a few from the people they're following and believing. They're following and they're believing. Uthman radiallahu anhu, he accepted Islam. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he accepted Islam. A number of others from As-Sabiqun al-Awwalun, min al-Muhajirin, they accepted Islam. They turned away from the ways of their forefathers, they turned away from the customs of their people and the cultures that they were raised upon, and they believed in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. While the people were engulfed in shirk and in paganism and polytheism and they're worshipping idols, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called them to turn away from that and to leave that and to worship Allah alone with no partners, and clarify for them that the only one who's worthy of worship is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and everything besides that is not worthy, and everything besides Allah is not worthy. Worshipping the creation is falsehood. This was the call of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So little by little the people are entering to the fold of that Islam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he continued for 10 years in Mecca teaching the people about Tawheed, clarifying the proper creed and proper belief, teaching the people about the rights of Allah and His beautiful names and attributes, and His right to be worshipped alone with no partners, subhanahu wa ta'ala, teaching the people about the last day and the accountability before Allah azza wa jal, teaching the people about the belief in the angels and the scriptures and the prophets and the messengers, teaching the people about the belief in the hellfire, and likewise in the Jannah, the promise of paradise for the obedient, and the threat of the hellfire for the disobedient. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is cultivating them upon piety and upon the proper sound creed and the upright faith. For 10 years, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he proceeded upon this way. For 10 years, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is calling the people in Mecca to believe in Allah, to believe in Allah in the last day, and to worship Allah alone, and turn away from paganism and polytheism, and to turn away from the innovative customs and cultures of the people. People are entering into Islam little by little, and they're facing great hardships, and the revelation is coming time after time. The revelation is coming time after time in this period in Mecca. From that which was revealed in this period in Mecca, much of that which we heard recited tonight, much of that which we heard recited tonight was revealed in this period. And from that, likewise, what was revealed is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he does not speak from his desires. It is only a revelation that is revealed. It is only a revelation that is revealed. Clarifying that the Quran, no doubt, is revelation from Allah Azza wa Jal, and likewise, that which is revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from his sunnah, laws and legal ways, is revelation as well. All of this is being revealed, and a few from the people, they're believing and they're following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they're facing great persecution, great hardship and difficulty, all the way until the 10th year before Hijrah. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was raised to the heavens. He was raised to the heavens, and the obligation of the prayer was established. 5 daily prayers in one day. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught the companions how to pray. Rather, Jibreel, he came down the next day after this and clarified to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the times for the obligatory prayer. So this was revealed to the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sacred rites of As-salah, the times for the prayer, the manner to pray. Even it's been mentioned likewise, barakallahu fikum, that the manner of making ablution, the manner of making wudu, was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Jibreel, he taught him how to make wudu. He taught him how to pray. He prayed with him for 2 days, clarifying the times of the prayers. Clarifying the times of the prayers. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he conveyed that which was revealed to him from his Lord. He conveyed this to his companions, to Abu Bakr and to Umar and to Uthman and to Ali radiallahu anhum and the rest of the companions, and they believed in that which was revealed to him, and they believed in this obligation of the prayer, and they believed in this proper manner to pray, and they followed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that, and they established it. They followed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that, and they established it. And they're the ones who have transmitted to us the manner that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prayed. They're the ones who transmitted to us that he would make wudu in this particular manner. And then whenever he prayed in this way, and he would say this, and he would recite that, and he would raise his hands at this time. And they're the ones who told us that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَصَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي, and pray in the manner you have seen me pray. And pray in the manner as you have seen me pray. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he carried on this way for 3 more years. And there is great difficulty until it was allowed for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to migrate to Al-Madinah. So based upon what has preceded, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he spent How many years in Mecca? 13 years in Mecca. For 10 years, what is the call? What is the obligation? At-tawheed. To single out Allah alone in worship, and to leave off the idol worship, and leave off worshiping others besides Allah, or others along with Allah, and to worship Allah alone. For 10 years, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching creed, aqeedah. He's teaching tawheed, al-iman. The al-iman is sadiq, belief to the companions. The first obligation from the actions was revealed in the 10th year, which was? Was the salah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prayed in Mecca after that for how many years? 3 years. And then a total of 13 years. He migrated after that to Al-Madinah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After coming to Medina, now they have a base and they have an establishment. They have safety and security. Now the revelation begins to reveal back to back. And the legislation is unfolding. The obligations begin. The obligation of zakat. The obligation of the sawm. The obligation of the hajj. The obligation of jihad. The obligation of the adhan. All of these other sacred rights from Islam and requirements that are incumbent that we know today, the obligations were revealed little by little after this in the time after the migration. In the time whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's in Medina. In the time whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's in Medina. I want to summarize, and I have a point I hope that we all realize. So as the legislation is unfolding, now the zakat becomes obligatory. Zakat al-fitr becomes obligatory. Fasting Ramadan becomes obligatory. Later on, after some time, the hajj becomes obligatory. And the jihad becomes obligatory. And then the sacred rites of Islam, they're unfolding. And the laws of inheritance are being established. And the laws of buying and trading are being established. And the laws that are with regards to marriage and contract and divorce, they're being established. And the sacred rites of Islam are being established little by little in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in accordance to the events that are happening in the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. There are events that would occur with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, and revelation would come. And then there would be events that would occur with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, and revelation would come. In this manner, like this, so they're witnessing the revelation, they're learning it from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly, they're following his footsteps precisely, and they're applying that which they learned from him with sincere faith and belief, all the way until the end of the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the day of Jumu'ah, on the day of Arafah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's standing on Arafah, and it's revealed to him. And it's revealed to him. What's revealed to him? Huh? Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum. Wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati. Wa raditu lakum Al-Islam Dina. So now, when is this period? In this timeline that we've been discussing now, we spent 13 years in Mecca. And now we spent 10 years in Medina. 10 years in Medina. In all of these years, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's striving to establish the deen. The revelation is being revealed to him time after time, little by little, and the legislation is unfolding, and the sacred rites of Islam are being established one after the other, all the way until about 80 or 90 days before the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now this verse is revealed. The Fatiha has been revealed, Baqarah has been revealed, Kamil, Ali Imran and Surah An-Nisa and Ma'idah. These verses, the majority of the Quran has been revealed all the way until the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is standing on this day, and Allah sends down upon him, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum. Today I have completed your deen for you. Today I have completed your deen for you. What does that mean? The question is not hard. Yes. Allahu Akbar. Say it again. That means that his goal has been completed. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent him with. You understand that? Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum. It's revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's kicked out of his house. He's called a liar. His family members, they rejected him. They exiled him. Many of his companions, they're tortured to death. Sumayyah had died. Sumayya had died. Yasir, he had died. Hamza, he died. They're killed. They're martyred. A number of the companions, they lost their life in this cause. All the way until now, on this day, making Hajj, it's revealed, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Dinakum. The young man, what did he say? That means that the purpose and the aim for the coming of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was fulfilled. Meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ballagha al-balag al-mubin. He conveyed the message entirely in the clearest and the best conveyance. Until Allah, he says that today I have completed your religion for you. The religion was completed, as the young man he said, by the conveyance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. By the conveyance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. By teaching the companions the religion that was revealed to him and establishing an application, now the religion has been completed. Do you understand that? What does that mean? Another understanding, another benefit. What does that mean? Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum. That it's complete. If something is complete, do you have to add to it? If something is finished and completed, do you add to it? Do you take away from it? What do you do with it? You accept it and you just leave it. Alhamdulillah, it's complete. It's finished. It's been completed. وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي. And I have perfected my favor upon you. And I have perfected my favor upon you. What is the favor that Allah perfected? Huh? Al-Islam. The favor that Allah perfected is Al-Islam. وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي. And I have perfected my favor upon you. So the greatest favor is the favor of Al-Islam. It's the favor of Al-Islam. The greatest favor is the favor of Al-Islam. But not what some people today think is Islam. Or what is ascribed to Islam falsely. But rather the favor that Allah has bestowed from Al-Islam is that which was completed at the conveyance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upon that day and his companions. This is the favor of Allah azza wa jal that was completed and perfected. This is the favor of Allah azza wa jal that was completed and perfected. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. And I am pleased with you, and I'm pleased for you with Islam as a deen. I am pleased for you with Islam as a deen, a way of life, a religion and way of life. I'm pleased for you with Islam. With Islam. What is intended here? Allah is pleased with Islam as a deen, a religion and way of life for you. That means anything else that's not Islam, Allah is not pleased with that. But we also have to understand, the Islam being referred to in this verse is the favor that Allah had perfected. And it is the Islam that was completed at the conveyance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the application of the companions. Whenever the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he called the people, and those few, they accepted that call, and they believed, and they followed, and they submitted, and they surrendered, in this manner, Islam was completed. Islam was established, and the favor was perfected. So this is Islam. You understand? Anything besides this is not Islam. Anything besides this, it's not Islam. What they were upon on that day is Islam. What they believed in that day, how they believe in Allah and His names and His attributes, how they established the Salah, how they paid the Zakat, how they fasted the month of Ramadan, how they established the Hajj and the sacred rites, the transactions and the buying and the limits and the laws that are set in the laws of inheritance and likewise in marriage and divorce, so on and so forth, all of the rites of Islam, that which was understood and well known in those days, at that time, this is Islam. This is Islam, and anything that comes after that is not Islam, it's falsehood. It's falsehood and contrary. So we see that in the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he clarified the religion, he taught the religion, he established the religion, he guided the others to establish the religion. The companions, they followed him in that precisely all the way until the religion was complete. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was pleased with the efforts. So how could it come now, later after that, something ascribed to Islam that was not known on that day? How could it be Islam? Is it possible that it's from Islam, yet the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam never did it? Is it possible? Think about it. Is it possible? Is it possible that it was completed and perfected at the conveyance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam until Allah is pleased with them, and then, but he didn't know about it, or he didn't do it? It's not possible. It's not possible. So anything that's not upon that way is falsehood. Anything that's not upon that way is falsehood. Anything that's contrary to that way is falsehood. For this reason, Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah, he has a great statement. Who knows it? Madam yakun yawma idin dinan ha falan yakun al-yawma dina. Madam yakun yawma idin dinan, whatever was not deen on that day, it will never be deen today. Whatever was not deen on that day, on the day whenever Allah, he says, al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa radithu lakum al-islam al-deena falan yakun al-yawma deen. Whatever was not deen on that day, whatever was not aqidah on that day, whatever was not ibadah on that day, whatever was not from the sacred rites of Islam on that day, it will never be deen today. It will never be deen today. How could it be deen and it was not deen then? How could it be from the deen of al-Islam, yet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not know about it? Or the companions of the noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not know about it? Is this very clear? This is from the mind, a person, he can realize this and see that it's not possible. Anything that's ascribed to Islam that was not Islam on that day is falsehood and not from al-Islam. If you keep this in mind, if you keep this in mind along with all those evidences that we discussed and more, if you keep this point in mind, and this intellectual proof that you can see clearly yourself, along with all of those evidences that we discussed before, and many other evidences, likewise, you will find the majority of the believers, they ascribe to Islam in an ascription that is deficient. And the true Islam is very strange in these days. Just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, بَدَأَ الْإِسْلَامُ غَرِيبًا وَسَيُعُودُ غَرِيبًا كَمَا بَدَأَ فَطُوبَ لِلْغُرُبَى. So the religion of al-Islam is the religion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, and that's it. مَنْ كَانَ عَلَى مِثْلِ مَا أَنَا عَلَيْهِ الْيَوْمِ وَأَصْحَابِي. Who was ever upon the likes of what I am upon today and my companions. This is the clear religion. This is the clear deen. So did Abu Bakr did the companions, radiallahu anhum, did they know about Naqshbandiyyah? Huh? What about Dusuqiyya? What about Rifa'iyya? Huh? Did they know about that? What about Tijaniyya? What about Qadaniyya? What about Ahmadiyya? Huh? Was Abu Bakr Ahmadiyya? Huh? Were they spinning around in the masjid? Huh? Were they dancing in the masjid? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, was he dancing in the masjid? Spinning around? What about Umar? Was he going like this? Who la ilaha illallah, like this, like you see some of them doing? Were they doing that? Did they revolt against Abu Jahl? Did they revolt against Abu Jahl and the authority? Huh? Whenever they were weak in Mecca, did they revolt against Abu Jahl? Did they assassinate Abu Jahl? Could they have assassinated Abu Jahl? Somebody could have easily assassinated Abu Jahl or Abu Lahab. Easily, but what would happen then? The same thing that's happening in Gaza today. That's what would happen if they had done that. That's why they didn't do that. Barakallahu fikum. That's why they were not allowed to do the likes of this, because of the evils and the ills that come about from the likes of this rebellious chaos and the religion. Waliyadhu billah. So the point is, barakallahu fikum, that there are many deviant sects. There are many deviant sects. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one time likewise, in those years that he taught the companions, he daraba lahum mathalan wa khatta lahum khattan. He struck for them an example and he drew a line for them on the ground. He said, hadha sabilullah, hadha sabil, this is the path of Allah. And then he said, on the side, on the right and the left, there are other paths and there are other ways. And at the head of each one of them is a devil calling to them. And then he recited the statement of Allah azza wa jal. Who knows it? Qul hadhihi. Huh? Huh? No, that's not it. Huh? Inna hadha? Huh? Wa inna hadha sirati mustaqima. Jazakallah khairan. Somebody complete it. Wa inna hadha sirati mustaqiman. Fattabi'uhu wa? Wa la tattabi'u subula. This is my straight path. Follow it and do not follow the other pathways. So the straight path of Allah Azza wa Jal, is the path of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and and his companions, and the tabi'un and the atba' tabi'in. This is the straight path. This is the deen of al-Islam. Anything that's contrary to that is falsehood, regardless of how many people do it, regardless of how many followers there are, regardless if all of the countries in the world, they're all establishing the birthday, for example. Who cares? There's no evidence for that. There's no proof for that. A Muslim, he does not follow the majority. Rather, a Muslim, he follows the truth. He follows the evidence. He follows the proof. That which he does it because he believes in Allah in the last day. He's not doing it because it's a custom. He's not doing it because it's a culture. He's not doing it because the majority of the people are doing it. He's not doing it so that people will like him. He's doing it because he believes in Allah Azza wa Jal. He's doing it because he believes in Allah Azza wa Jal. So therefore, a person, he has to hold fast. Therefore, a person, he has to hold fast to this as-sirat al-mustaqim. He has to hold fast to as-sirat al-mustaqim. What is that? The way of? What is the straight path? The way of? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. And his companions. And likewise, their students and their students. Their students and their students. Abu al-Adiyah, rahimahullah, from the tabi'in, he was asked about the meaning of sirat al-mustaqim. He was asked, what is the meaning of sirat al-mustaqim? Do you know what he said? Huh? He said, sirat al-mustaqim, it is Rasulullah wa sahibahu min ba'dihi Abu Bakr wa Umar. The straight path, it is the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Abu Bakr and Umar after him, his two companions. His two companions, Abu Bakr and Umar, radiallahu anhumah, after him. This is the straight path. This is the understanding of Abu al-Adiyah. Hassan al-Basri, he was asked about that. He said, and he was informed about what he mentioned. And he said, Sadaqa Abu al-Adiyah wa nasaha. He said, he said the truth and he gave sincere advice. And he gave sincere advice. We go back to the narration of the jama'ah. That ستفترك أمتي على 73 فرقة. My ummah would be divided into 73 sects. All of them are in the hellfire except for one. The jama'ah. Abdullah bin Mubarak from the Atba' Tabi'in. You know what he said? Who was the jama'ah? Abu Bakr and Umar. He said, who was the jama'ah? He said, Abu Bakr and Umar. Abu Bakr and Umar. So this is the understanding. This is the understanding. The jama'ah, the straight path, the religion of Islam is the religion of the Salaf al-Saleh. The religion of Islam is the religion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. And it cannot be any other way. It cannot be any other way. It's not possible. Not possible. Not intellectually and not according to the sound evidences and proofs. And this is because the sound evidences and proofs, they never contradict the sound mind. The sound evidences and proofs in the Quran and the Sunnah, they never contradict the sound mind. That's why the sound mind can realize and understand the obligation of following the methodology of the Salaf. Of following the methodology of the Salaf. Of following the understanding of the Quran and the Sunnah according to the understanding of the Sahaba. Why? Because they witnessed the revelation. They learned the revelation from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They applied the revelation until Allah was pleased with them and until their religion was complete at the conveyance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the application of the companions. It was not until this time that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conveyed the message. And the noble companions, radiallahu anhum, they believed in that message and they followed it. At this time, it was revealed, today, I have completed your religion for you. So therefore, the complete religion is the religion that the companions were upon. Do you understand this? So this is why we say that we follow the Quran and the Sunnah according to the understanding of the Sahaba. You understand that part? This is of utmost importance to realize. This is the true Islam. This is the true Islam, to understand the Quran and the Sunnah, the understanding of the Sahaba. If we ever have any differences in our understanding in creed or our understanding in methodology, and if we have any differences, then we must refer back to the Quran and the Sunnah. But what is the judge to determine the proper understanding derived from the Quran and the Sunnah? Because if you ask the Sufi, why are you spitting in the masjid? They say Quran and Sunnah. If you tell them, ho, 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 what do they say? They say Quran and Sunnah. The Shia, what do they say? They say we follow Quran and Sunnah. The Khawarij, what do they say? Blowing up people in the masjid. Allahu Akbar. And they say they follow Quran and Sunnah. But what is the point? Where is the judge that's going to determine who's truthful and who's sincere and who is right and who's wrong? Because claims are claims. And there must be a criterion to determine who is really following the Quran and Sunnah. What would that criterion be? The understanding of those who applied the Quran and Sunnah until Allah revealed in their right, until and today I have completed for you your deen. Do you understand this? This is of utmost importance. So all of the Sufi sects are misguided and not from the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of them. All of the Khawarij, all of the deviant sects, the Rafila, the Shia, all of those deviant sects, the Ashariya, was Abu Bakr Ashari? Was Abu Bakr Maturidi? Did they ever deny any of the attributes? Did any of the companions ever deny any of the attributes? No, they didn't. Your Lord, he laughs at two men. And he didn't tell the end of the hadith. And then one of the companions, what did he say? Huh? لَن نَعْدِمْ أَلْخَيْرَ مِنْ رَبٍ يَلْحَكْ. We will never be void of goodness from a Lord that laughs. He didn't say, oh, the Lord doesn't laugh. They never denied the attributes. Rather, they affirmed them. The point is that they affirmed all of the attributes. So those groups that came later, denying the attributes, like the Ashariya, like the Jahmiya, like the Maturidiya, and the likes of them, they're all falsehood. They're all from those 72 sects. The Sufiya, the Naqshbandiya, Tijaniya, Qadaniya, all of them, they're from the deviant sects. The Tablighiya, the Jamaat Ikhwan Muslimun, all of them, they're from the deviant sects. All of them, they're from the deviant. Do you understand this? You have to understand this. You have to believe they're from the deviant sects. They went that way or that way. They went out away from the straight path because they're not following the way of the companions. They're not upon the way of the companions. They're not understanding the religion of the companions. What happens if you don't understand Islam, the understanding of the companions? Huh? You go away from the straight path and you become from the deviant sects. From the deviant sects. So many deviant sects, so many misguided ideologies, so many masajid around us even that are established upon that way. That are established upon that way. And those who are following the correct path, they are few. There are few. There are few. The religion began as something strange, any contrary, different than the norms of the people in the society, and it will return the same way. So Islam, no doubt, is strange amongst the disbelievers, but the true Islam, the pure Islam, the Islam that the Prophet ﷺ was upon and his companions radiallahu anhum, is something strange today. And the followers who follow it truthfully, they're strange today. So do not have confusion. Do not be deluded. Do not feel lonesome. Alhamdulillah, this is the right path. This is the true deen. If you're looking for al-Islam, if you believe in al-Islam, if you believe in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then follow this way. This is the good way. This is the way that is pleasing. This is the way that leads to the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. Believing in the Quran and the Sunnah and understanding that the way of the companions. The way of the companions. We should have no doubts about this affair. We should have no doubts about the Safir, and we should have no doubts about those who are contrary to this, and their contradiction leads them to innovation, taking them away from the straight path, exposing them to the hellfire and the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal. So we have an allegiance for these few people. We have an allegiance for these people. We love the people upon this way. We have an allegiance with them, and we turn away from the people upon the other way. We cooperate upon piety and righteousness with these people. With these people. We do not cooperate upon sin and transgression with those people. We don't cooperate upon sin and transgression with those people. We not help them establish their birthday party. We not help them establish their innovation. We not help them establish their deviation. We not help them water down the religion and call to interfaith. We don't help them in that. We don't help them in that. We don't cooperate with them in that. We have the understanding that it's clear. We have the understanding that it's pure. We cooperate with those upon that way and we leave those other people. And if we can call them or direct them, alhamdulillah. But we'd have no need to go to their masajid or participate in their suhoor or any other things that they invite the people to be involved in. Or any other things they invite the people to be involved in. We suffice with the understanding of the sahaba and those upon that way. And we unite for this reason, because we believe. Because we believe. We don't unite for worldly affairs. We unite for this reason. I hope that you all understand this point here. The obligation of following the Quran and the Sunnah according to the understanding of the Sahaba. This is the true Islam. This is the correct deen. This is the path that leads to the pleasure of Allah. And all of the other ascriptions throughout Islam that are contrary to this are false subscriptions, and they do not lead to the pleasure of Allah. And they are threatened with the hellfire. The means of safety and savior and sanctity and protection and goodness and happiness and joy in this life and the hereafter is in this manner. By believing in the Quran and the Sunnah and following that according to the understanding of the Sahaba. May Allah grant you all success. I apologize, I took too much time. Jazakum Allah khairan. 1 o'clock.
Yes. Jazakum Allah. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومواله. جزا الله خيرا خانا أستاذ أبو عبد الرحمن سمير for the clarification of this very important mara following مذهب السلف الصالح, the methodology of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and his companion, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command us in his Quran in many ayat to follow them. If that doesn't happen, we don't follow the Salaf, we don't follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companion, then what's going to happen? Destruction is going to happen. You're making a lot of ibadah, you're making hajj, you're making umrah, you recite Quran, you pray tahajjud, you memorize Quran, you give a lot of sadaqah, and it disappears. Take example, the Quraysh, those who oppose the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were claiming they were following Prophet Ibrahim and Ismail. It is them who built the Kaaba. It is them who used to make Hajj. They used to make Umrah. They used to fast the day of Ashura. They used to do a lot of good things, but mixed with shirk and innovation. Shirk and innovation. Worshiping other than Allah and following other than the message of Prophet Ibrahim and Ismail. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Prophet Muhammad called them to go back to that. Stick to La ilaha illallah, worship none but Allah, and follow the message. They rejected all their ibadat. Will be ruined. They benefit nothing from it. وَقَدِّمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. Then come to those who say they are Muslims. You have Khawarij. Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu salam mentioned they make a lot of salah, a lot of fasting, a lot of recitation of Quran. They call people to the book of Allah. With that, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَإِنْ أَدْرَكْتُمْ لَأَقْتُلَنَّا وَقَتْلَ عَدٍ. If I reach them, I'll destroy them and kill them like the people of Ad, the enemy of Allah. Subhanallah. Someone who recites Quran, who memorizes Quran, who prays, who fasts. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if he get a chance, he will kill them. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. What happened? تحقرون صلاتهم صلاتكم عند صلاتهم. You belittle all my companion, your prayer comparing to theirs. وصيامكم عند صيامي, your fasting comparing to theirs. وقراءتكم عند قراءتي, your recitation. You belittle all my companion, your recitation, how you recite Quran comparing to the recitation of Khawarij. شر قتلى تحت أديم السماء, the worst who is killed under the sky. شر الخلق والخليقة, the worst of the creation. Somebody reciting Quran, memorize Quran, calling people to Quran. Yes. Now he's great reciter. Oh, this is a big sheikh. How you know? He recites Quran. The one who killed Uthman Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he was great Quranic reciter. Who gave recommendation? Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Umar bin al-Khattab gave recommendation to the one who at the future he will kill the Muslim Khalifa Ali radiallahu anhu. The first young boy who become Muslim, Ali. Somebody kill him. Who memorized Quran? Who Umar gave him a recommendation to teach people the Quran in Egypt? And Uthman bin Affan renew that recommendation for him. He's the one who ended up killing the best human on earth at that time, Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. Before that, the same group killed Uthman bin Affan in his house. يَدْعُونَ إِلَىٰ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ إِنَ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. This is what they say. The rule is for Allah. The rule is for none but Allah. Allah is judgment. Allah is rule. The Sharia. Daesh, Shabab, Al-Qaeda, don't be deceived with them. liars. Wallahi, they are liars. And the one who call you to them is a liar. They kill people in the masjid. Suicide, boom. Next thing you hear in the masjid, in the street, in the hotel, in an airplane, in the markets, in the houses. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. Then you have next group. You have Shia. Many groups, including Rafida. Some of them, as in Sahih al-Bukhari, they said to Ali, you are Allah. Think about that. Someone who says he's a Muslim, he's saying to Ali bin Abi Talib, anhu, you are Allah. Ali burned them, radiallahu anhu. They continue bringing innovations. What they say, Abu Bakr and Umar are Sanamay Quraysh, the two idols of Quraysh. They are mushrik, they are kuffar. Abu Bakr, Umar, who say this? Shia. Rafida, Hezbollah, Nasrallah, Houthiyun, name them. All these groups. Liars, who want to attack Jewish, who want to attack this, who want to liberate Quds. They lie to you. This is makeup. Someone who consider Quran is not complete. Who consider Abu Bakr Umar are kuffar. Who consider the Sahaba, all of them kuffar except for you. Someone who pray to Ali, Ya Ali, Ya Ali. He make hajj for Hussein. Labbayka Ya Hussein, Labbayka Ya Hussein, Labbayka. Go to the YouTube. Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he taught his Sahaba, Labbayka Allahumma Labbayk. And these people, they teach him, Labbayka Ya Hussein, Ya Ali, Ya Hussein. Subhanallah. Then you have, after that, Qadariya, who denied the decree. The time of Sahaba, all these groups, not new. But they continue. Then you have Jahmiyyah. Then after the Mu'tazila, Asha'ira, Maturidiyah, Sufiya. Oh, you cannot say Allah is up. Allah is everywhere. Allah is like an air. This is what they say. A'udhu billah. How many ayat? How many ayat that Allah is up? Thousands. Thousand proof that Allah is up. They say, no, Allah is everywhere. You cannot say Allah is up. Then he say, I want to take my son to that to teach Quran, mashallah. He's a good Quranic reciter. What kind of Quran reciter? First thing he taught him, he said, you cannot say Allah is up. Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam, he want to free a slave girl because her master slapped her. But he wanted to test her if she is really a believer. He asked her two questions. Sahih Muslim. Ayn Allah, where Allah is? She said, Allah is fis sama. She pointed out and she talked. It's up. Man ana, who am I? You are the messenger of Allah. She pointed to the Prophet Sallam. You are the messenger of Allah. And then she mentioned up. He said, A'tiqa fa inna mu'mina. Free her, she's a believer. Now you have that Sufi. You say, no, no, you cannot say Allah is up. Allah mentioned Quran. ما منعك أن تسجد لما خلقت بيدي أو إبليس what prevents you to bow down to the one I create with my two hands they say no 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 you cannot say Allah has two hands ويبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام Allah face subhanahu full of majesty and greatness they say no Allah does have face where you brought this from and you know what happened to the Ahl Sunnah killing some of them torturing some of them like Imam bin Hanbal فتنة خلق القرآن معتزلة. So somebody denying hundreds of ayat. But he's praying, he's making khushu in salah in front of you in hajj. A lot of sadaqah. لا. This shows the importance of the sound creed. Before you act, believe. فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهِ اللَّهِ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ First sound creed. Correct understanding. Then build on that righteous actions. مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, who Allah wants good for, he makes him understand the religion. Correct understanding of the religion. Then you have, after that, how many groups? Quraniyun. They say, we don't want a sunnah. No, no, Quran is sufficient. كَلِمَةُ حَقٍ أُرِيدَ بِهَا بَاطِل They say, we follow Quran, we don't follow sunnah. How you can follow Quran if you don't follow the Sunnah? Allah commanded Quran to follow the Sunnah. Allah mentioned Quran, he sent down Quran and hikmah, kitab and hikmah, ayatillah hikmah. Obeyed Allah and messenger. Ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasul. If you differ in anything, go back to Allah, to the messenger. They said, no, we're not going to the messenger. Going to the Quran. They deny. And many other groups deny the sunnah. كالمعتزلة. They say what we look, the sunnah, if it goes with our mind, our intellect, our common sense, we accept. If not, we reject it. And the like. Many groups out there. Many groups out there. Subhanallah, not that long. Look where people are today. Brothers, they wanted to buy a church. They make agreement. They asking me to pass the message. And I put somewhere, I posted. A brother called me, said, look, you're doing oppression. Why? Why are you taking over the church? You getting advantage from them because they cannot maintain it. We Muslims, we have to help them. So they keep the church. La wallah. He said, how are you doing that? Because they cannot maintain it, you want to get advantage? Well, that's not in Islam. Islam is a religion of mercy. We have to help them, maintain them. A'udhu billah. Another one, I was giving a talk here. He heard me saying Christian, Jewish, disbelievers. He said, don't say disbelievers. I said, Allah said it. He said, where? لقد كفر الذين قالوا إن الله ثالث ثلاثة لقد كفر قالوا إن الله هو المسيحون. I showed the noble Quran. They disbelieve. Those who say Allah is one of three. They disbelieve. Those who say Jesus. He said, look, my sheikh say you cannot say disbelieve. I said, but أخي, Allah says. That's the last time I see him. There you have Abrahamic faith. It doesn't matter. You're Muslim, you're Christian, you're Jewish. Let us get together. It made to Abrahamic faith. We all have one. A sister called me, her son. She asked, consulting with me, her son, want to make adhan where they gather. A Jewish guy come. The sheikh, so-called sheikh, come. Another one come from the Christian. And then everyone present, and each one making dua one time. So a Christian guy, he make dua. Who does he call? Jesus. And this so-called sheikh say, Ameen. A'udhu billah. Somebody calling Jesus, say, Ameen. And there are big messages spreading this. Therefore, this idea of listening to everybody, going to every masjid, listening to every speaker, every YouTube, every famous guy who say in the name of Islam, this is deviation. Wallahi, some of the brothers who used to come to this masjid, Dawra, seminars, now because they listen to everybody, they end up saying, you know what? Calling Jailani, Tijani, praying to other than Allah. It's not shirk. Calling Jailani, Tijani, other than Allah. It's not shirk. No, it's not shirk. They used to come here. What happened? Because they listened to someone from jail. In Islam, I conclude with this one. You look who you take knowledge from. Don't listen to everybody. You have ocean of deviators, Khawarij, Sufiya, each group a lot, Shia, name them, those who deny the Sunnah. Many groups. So if you open your ears to everyone, how can you guarantee you will not have doubt? There was someone who used to argue. His mother told him, stop arguing, first learn it. So now I have to refute. He ended up refuting atheist. He become atheist. How many youth were with their parents? Next thing you hear, they are in Syria. They are in Somalia. They were where? Committing suicide. Why? Because they listen everybody. Don't listen everyone. Listen to the people of Sunnah. And you already hear, Alhamdulillah. Sunnah is very clear. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, the Messenger said, Sahaba Ridwan Allah Ta'ala alayhim, they said, and going back to those who convey that message to us from the people of knowledge, the like of Sheikh Al-Albani, Sheikh Ibn Baz, Sheikh Uthaymeen, Sheikh Muqbil, Sheikh Rabi', Sheikh Fawzan, and others. This is very important. Now, subhanAllah, you see the youth, they listen to everybody. They go to every masjid. I conclude with this one, final one. قال رحمه الله ابن سيرين كانوا لا يسألون عن الإسناد فلما وقعت الفتنة قالوا سموا لنا رجالكم فيؤخذ من أهل السنة ويرد على أهل البدع. This great tabi'i say they were not used to ask about the chain of narration. When they hear the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, they used to accept it. Until fitna took place. People lie in it. Desires, deviations, hypocrites. I forget that point. There are people who are munafiqun, hypocrites. They are not even Muslims. But they take imamah, they open masjid. It happened at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Didn't happen. Masjid Dirar. They open a masjid. They say, oh, the Muslim Allah, come. Pray here for us because the elders, the sick people, the young, they cannot come to your masjid. It's far. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I'm going to expedition now when I come back, inshallah. On his way back, Allah sent down ayat, who these people are? Hypocrites. To fight Islam in the name of Islam. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam burned down that so-called mosque. It made a place of trash. But you think they stopped after that? They reopen. They open here. I hear with my own eyes, video, a Christian guy from this country saying, look, the best way to fight Islam, he said, is to claim a group of Christians, claim they're Muslims. And they do the minimum things to show they are Muslims. And then now, they spread what they spread in, and then we change the Kaaba. A lot of money going to Saudi Arabia. No, we make Safana here. See, and we make even cheaper, 2,500 the tickets instead of 5,000, he says, in detail. And then we bring in the media, he said, the Western media come. One day we say we left Islam, he said. We announce we left Islam. That's going to be it. This is how they do in open. They're not even hiring. So if you listen to everyone, who guarantee akhi? So this is very important. This tabi'i say, they were not used to ask about the chain of narrators. Who narrate to you? Who? Until fitna happened, some people come lying, they say, look, who tell you this? Who narrate? Who you narrate from? Who you narrate from? He narrate from. All the way, people known upon sunnah, truthfulness, religious, sincerity. Abiding to the sunnah, abiding to the Quran, abiding to the fahm salaf salih, they are taken. Other people, no. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, someone wanted to recite something to him, mention something to him. He said, "Kana kunna idha sami'na qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asghayna ilayhi bi adhanina wa abtadarat ilayhi asma'una falamma rakibna sa'b wa dhalul lam ya'khudh min an-nas illa ma na'rifu." When we hear the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he said, we used to look at and we used to listen attentively. But when people started going everywhere, mixing falsehood, truth, wherever, because of desires, deviations, we don't take from people except what we know Ibn Abbas says. And many narrations about that. Alhamdulillah, قَدْ عَرَفْتُمُ الْحَقِّ. You know the haq. قال الله وقال الرسول وقال الصحابة رضوان الله تعالى عليهم. Let us stick to that and let us not open our ears to everybody. And if that happen, what's next thing? You become confused. Question. It doesn't matter. You can list this one. You have subhanAllah the person change. We ask Allah al-Karim subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us front upon sunnah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us good ending. Inshallah I leave Abu Abdurrahman to give us if there is anything add or correction, inshallah.
Jazakum Allah khairan. Barakallah fikum. I close with another narration by Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahimahullah wa ta'ala, the one the Sheikh he just mentioned, this other narration. And he, by the way, he died in the year 110 from the best of the scholars of hadith, rahimahullah ta'ala. He said, إِنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمَ دِينٌ فَانْظُرُوا عَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ. That this knowledge, indeed this knowledge that you're learning and that you study and that you're seeking is deen. It's deen. So therefore, look to where you take your knowledge from. So the knowledge that we learn and that we study, the knowledge of the Qur'an, the knowledge of the Sunnah, the knowledge of the methodology of the Salaf, of the Ummah, this knowledge is deen. This knowledge is deen. Meaning that this knowledge, we believe in it and we apply it in our lives, and we're going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that knowledge, based upon that, are our actions, and our actions will be weighed. If our actions are according to the proper and sound knowledge, then our actions, they'll be heavy in the scale. But if our actions are based upon the wrong knowledge, then those deeds will be light and they'll be rejected. So therefore, it's very important where we take our knowledge from, and to look to whom we take our knowledge from. Even some of the people of the Sunnah, they're tried, likewise with fitna and trials, and they're not reliable and trustworthy. Even some, they claim to follow the Qur'an and the Sunnah and the understanding of the Salaf, yet they themselves are tried with fitna, and they themselves have problems, and they mislead and they misuse the people. So it's very dangerous. You have to be very diligent. From the best things that you can do, is to supplicate to Allah Azza wa Jal sincerely and ask Allah to provide you with a good teacher. And this is narrated from a number of the Salaf. Many of them, when they would travel, they would say, Allahumma rzuqani jalisan saliha. Oh Allah, provide for me a righteous companion, meaning a righteous teacher. And it's been mentioned from Alqama that he said that. And then he came to Abu Darda, and another he said that. And he came to Abi Huraira, and others they came to Mecca and they found Ibn Umar. And they're asking Allah to provide them with righteous companions and teachers, and they're given success to benefit from the companions. So from the supplication of a person, and likewise of a parent for their child, is that they will have good companions, they will have good teachers that will care about them and love them for the sake of Allah, and teach them that which is beneficial for them, and busy them with that which is beneficial for them. It's so important to have a truthful and honest teacher that will help you and that will guide you and not misuse you and take advantage of you. And many times great goodness comes from having a teacher. From having a good teacher, so many good things. Alhamdulillah, from the great blessings of Allah Azza wa Jalla upon me, is that I was guided to have good teachers. Alhamdulillah, this is a favor. I've seen this in my life. Teachers from Sheikh Abdul Muhsin and the likes, yani Sheikh Abdul Razak, these are my teachers. Alhamdulillah, and this is a great favor. It changes your life. It changes your life if you sit with the people of knowledge and they help you and they direct you and they guide you. This is a life-changing experience. Just learning about the scholars in general is a life-changing experience. To benefit from them is a life-changing experience. Alhamdulillah. So this is something that you have to supplicate for. That Allah, He will provide you with a good teacher. That Allah, He will provide you with a good teacher. Closing on this point of not taking knowledge from everywhere, yani that, just to say, to make it clear, anyone who would like to have doubts in his religion, anyone who would like to be confused and not to be sure about the truth, then just let him listen to whoever he likes. Because this is the result, and it would happen quick. This is the result, and it will happen quick. If you just listen to whoever you like, and you listen to this one, and you listen to that one, and everyone who has an imamah, or everyone who has a shimah, or everyone who has followers, or everyone who claims salafiyah, or everyone, you just listen to them unrestrictedly, and you have no clue who they are, wallahi, you'll be confused very fast. You'll become confused very fast. And you're like, well, he said this is allowed, and this is said this is not allowed. And then he said this is permissible, and he said that is not permissible. And you're going to become so confused so fast. But if you suffice with the principles that you know, and you follow this methodology clearly, and you only take from sources that are reliable, that you know are reliable, and you suffice with that, then inshallah, after a brief period of time, you have a great abundance of knowledge, and you have great benefit, and you have firmness in your religion. And you have firmness in your religion by sufficing with the proper sources and taking this as a deen. إِنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمَ الدِّينَ فَانْظُرُوا مَنْ تَأْخُذُونَ. So you take knowledge as deen, and you suffice with those people who you know are reliable as deen, and you leave those who you do not know being reliable as deen. Even if they are reliable, but you do not know, you leave them. Until you know, and then you ask the people that you trust, are they reliable or not? And if they say, inshallah, they're good, then you take from them. But you take this as a methodology. This is the way of Ahl-Sunnah. They do not take knowledge from everybody. The way of Ahlul Sunnah, they do not take knowledge from everybody. And unfortunately today, many of our youth from Ahlul Sunnah, they are taking knowledge from everybody. And this is why they're having much of the problems that they have. So from the means of having certainty and steadfastness in the religion is to take knowledge only from the proper and reliable sources. How could a Muslim who believes in Allah in the last day wind up in the masjid with a bomb on his chest, saying Allahu Akbar, blowing up his brothers at Dhuhr time? How did he get to this point? How did he get to this point? What is the focal point of his deviation? Huh? He took knowledge from the wrong people. He took knowledge from the wrong people. How did they wind up in front of a grave, begging the person in the grave, begging him, or begging, crying to him in front of the grave? How did this person wind up here? Huh? Taking knowledge from the wrong people. How did somebody wind up spinning around in the masjid in circles, claiming that they're seeking nearness to Allah? Or who? How did they wind up doing that? What led them to this? What led them to this? Taking knowledge from the wrong sources. Why did the Khawarij fight Ali radiallahu anhu? Taking knowledge from the wrong sources. Whenever Ibn Abbasin, he went to discuss with them, what did he say? I'm coming to you from the side of the companions, and I don't see none of them with you. Meaning they're getting their knowledge from the wrong sources. They're understanding the evidences that they're using and contrary to the understanding of the companions. They're getting knowledge from the wrong sources. So we have to be diligent in this manner. Seeking knowledge is an obligation, and seeking knowledge is the best means of success and goodness in this life and the hereafter. But it must be from the proper sources. Barakallahu fikum. May Allah grant all of you success and accept all of your fasting and your standing and your charity. And may Allah grant all of you and all of us together a good ending, and make us from those who love each other for the sake of Allah, and who cooperate upon piety and righteousness for His sake alone. Innahu jawadun kareem. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.